website, you can also anonymously participate in our online research program to help demonstrate the benefits of this approach. More research should be taken out of large institutions and pharmaceutically driven agendas and put in the hands of people. The anonymous collective sharing of data can transform healthcare from the bottom up. Tracking your progress will help you, but if you share your progress, you can also transform healthcare and improve the health of others. So please be part of the Blood Sugar Solution patient-driven research program by going to bloodsugarsolution.com to enter your data and numbers over time. Take action. Take the comprehensive diabesity quiz. Now that you've recorded your BMI and your waist-to-height ratio, you are ready to find out whether you should go on the basic or advanced plan. At the beginning of the book, you took a simple screening quiz to see if you may have diabetes. Now, you can take a deeper look at the severity of your problem. To do that, simply take the comprehensive diabetes quiz at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF. Take action. Get your blood and urine tested. While the quiz you've just taken will give you a good overall sense of how severe your condition is and an accurate assessment of whether to do the basic or advanced plan, there are a set of laboratory tests I strongly encourage you to take. There are two levels of testing to properly assess diabesity, its complications and its causes. No matter what your quiz score indicates, if the basic tests show you have advanced diabesity and see below for interpretation, then you should still do the advanced plan. Basic diabesity testing to diagnose the presence of diabesity. I recommend testing for everyone who's considering following this program or who is overweight, has diabetes, or has a family history of type 2 diabetes. The test should be performed during the preparation phase of the program. I've created a special online guide called How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need, where I provide detailed explanations for each of these tests and how to interpret the results. You can download the guide at bloodsugarsolution.com. I believe that people can be empowered to learn about their bodies, track their own test results, and use that information to track their disease risks and their progress. I encourage you to become an active partner in your health, and that includes knowing your numbers and following them over time. The abnormal levels noted in the companion guide are based on people who were not taking cholesterol or diabetes medications. If you're on medication, the numbers may look better, but you still may have severe, untreated diabesity. In the companion PDF, you will find the tests for diabesity. These tests can be done through your doctor, at most hospitals or laboratories, and even ordered yourself through personal testing companies such as Savon Labs or Direct Labs. They have Blood Sugar Solution basic and advanced test panels that allow you to order the tests yourself. While many of the problems you suffer from may be healed by going on the Blood Sugar Solution, some of you may need additional medical assistance. Others already may be seeing a doctor for treatment of diabetes. In either case, How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need will give you an important information guide that will help you interface with your medical practitioner in the most effective way possible. Download it at the website. You should also get follow-up testing done at 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year intervals. This will allow you and your doctor to accurately monitor your progress. Be sure to enter your results online at bloodsugarsolution.com to securely and privately track your progress and help revolutionize healthcare by participating in patient-driven research. In the companion PDF, you will find the preparation phase checklist. Part 4, the 6-week action plan. Never wait for the proper mood to start a thing, nor until the spirit moves you. Make your own mood. Make your own spirit. How? Act. Do something. Anything. Inspiration seldom generates action. Action always creates inspiration. Author unknown. The critical ingredient is getting off your butt and doing something. It's as simple as that. A lot of people have ideas, but there are few who decide to do something about them now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Robert Browning. Chapter 18. Ready, Set, Take Action. In Part 4, you will gather the tools and the knowledge you need to start your journey to health, step by step, week by week. If you follow the action steps, your health and the quality of your life will be radically transformed. Unless your mother picked you up at the Sears appliance section, I doubt you came with an owner's manual. We know more about how to keep our cars running for 200,000 plus miles than about how to keep our bodies, minds, and souls healthy for a lifespan of 120 years. Ancient cultural knowledge about how to create and maintain health is lost. Schools don't teach us, doctors and nutritionists don't learn this in school, and policymakers rely on outdated or flawed science at best and industry influence at worst to guide us. Since you only have one body, I encourage you to learn about how it works and the basic ingredients for health and happiness. The 6-week action plan will prepare you with the knowledge you need to safely venture into a supermarket without killing yourself, and the tools and techniques to heal your body, mind, and spirit. Each week, you will focus on different aspects of health, such as food, fitness, mental resilience, and learn how to seek support from friends and social groups and online communities to supercharge your results. When you keep a journal of your insights, successes, progress, obstacles, food intake, sleep, and exercise, you will strengthen your capacity for creating high-level wellness and wholeness. The menu plan, shopping list, recipes, snack ideas, food survival pack included at the end of the book will give you the final tools you need to translate the program into action. In these 6 weeks, you will also learn how to personalize your prescription for health. Each of us has unique imbalances that have created our state of disease and symptoms. The future of healthcare is personalized medicine. The personalized prescription of diet, nutrients, lifestyle, and even medications. After testing more than 10,000 patients and gathering thousands of stories, I have also learned to see patterns that connect the dots between different symptoms and diseases and help identify the underlying causes of illness. Some people may have excess inflammation, others may have hormonal disruption or digestive imbalances, and still others may be toxic. You've already started the process of identifying your own imbalances by filling out the quizzes in Part 2. These will help you personalize your plan, achieve rapid success, and help guide your medical care if needed. Now that you've completed the preparation steps, started your journal and tracking, created a support group, gotten tested, and know whether you need to be on the basic or the advanced plan, it's time to get started with the program. Before I dive into week one, I want to explain a little bit about how to use this part of the book. In each of the next 6 chapters, you will find specific action steps to take each week. At the end of Part 4, I've provided a summary of the entire program and a checklist you can use to guide your progress. These checklists are also available online at bloodsugarsolution.com and in the companion PDF. You can also find additional tools and learn more about our online community and access a weekly curriculum to support you while you're on the program at bloodsugarsolution.com. Many people get overwhelmed with the amount of information they need to learn and the steps they need to take. It's better to layer things in over time, and that's exactly how I've set up the program. During each week, you will focus on one aspect of the program. Week 1, Eat Your Medicine, Nutrition Basics. Week 2, Optimize Metabolism with Nutritional Supplements. Week 3, Relax Your Mind, Heal Your Body. Week 4, Fun, Smart Exercise. Week 5, Live Clean and Green. And week 6, Personalize the Program. Basic or advanced plan. What's the difference? By now, you should know which plan you need to be on. There are only two major differences between the basic plan and the advanced plan. Here they are. One, a more restrictive diet for 6 weeks. If you qualify for the advanced plan, or you've already been diagnosed with diabetes, you will make all of the dietary changes in the basic plan and will avoid all grains, fruit, and starchy vegetables for 6 weeks. This will help reboot your metabolism and help your diabetes resolve faster. And second, a more comprehensive supplement plan. As you will learn in week two, supplements are extremely helpful in treating diabetes. On the basic plan, there are supplements I recommend everyone take for life. Those of you who qualify for the advanced plan should take a few additional supplements for a limited period of time. Understand that many of the steps you're going to take are intended to be long-term changes. The 6-week program should set the stage for a healthy life. It's a complete overhaul in the way you eat and live, segmented into accessible weekly chunks. After the 6 weeks are over, you will simply keep doing most of what you've learned. To help make these changes easier, you'll find a week-by-week summary of the program and action checklist in the companion guide. This will be your daily reminder of exactly what you're supposed to do to succeed. You can also find a copy of this checklist that you can print or use online at bloodsugarsolution.com. Chapter 19, Week 1, Eat Your Medicine, Nutrition Basics. Good nutrition is the foundation of the program. You already have a jump start in the week's action steps from the preparation phase of the program. Here's what you can avoid for the next 6 weeks. These are the staples of our highly processed, hybridized, modern diet, and they're killing us. I promise you, you will discover a whole new world of Mother Nature's magnificent food pantry, which will delight your senses, stimulate your palate, and leave you feeling clear and healthy, not to mention automatically thinner. Avoid the following. 1. Sugar in any form whatsoever. Examples are agave, maple syrup, stevia, the latest and greatest sweetener of the day, or whatever. You have already started this in the prep week. Keep it up. If you have to ask, is this okay? It isn't. 2. All flour products, even gluten-free. These include bagels, breads, rolls, wraps, pastas. They are quickly absorbed and drive insulin sky high, even if they are whole grains. 3. All processed food. This includes all trans fats and high fructose corn syrup. Again, you started this during the prep week. 4. All gluten and dairy. These are the major inflammatory foods in our diet. You will learn more about eliminating them in this chapter. 5. If you are on the advanced plan, all grains, all starchy vegetables, and fruit. Avoid winter squashes, peas, potatoes, corn, and root vegetables such as rutabagas, parsnips, and turnips, and all fruit except 1/2 cup of berries a day. Do this for just 6 weeks to give yourself a jump start. After 6 weeks, I recommend you reintroduce gluten and dairy and see how they affect your weight, your blood sugar, and your metabolism, and how you feel. And you may find they cause weight gain or make you sick. If so, stay off them long term. I explain how to reintroduce these foods later in Chapter 26, Get Healthy for Life. If you have been on the advanced plan, slowly add back in the whole grains and limited amounts of starchy vegetables and fruit. See below for quantities. And watch how they affect your blood sugar, your energy, and your weight. Focus on food quality. The most important thing you can do to heal your body is focus on food quality. Americans spend less than 10% of their income on food, while Europeans spend about 20%. Quality matters. It's more important than quantity when it comes to calories. If you focus on quality, not quantity, you will feel satisfied while naturally avoiding cravings and attraction to food that won't nourish you. We get the most pleasure from life when we focus on quality, the quality of our relationships, of our work, and of our food. This is not so much about what you can't have, but about all the extraordinary tastes and flavors and textures and foods you can explore, and the side effects are all good. There is one simple concept you need to learn about nutrition, and it's the most important idea in this book, and it will save your life. Here it is. Not all calories are created equal. 500 calories of cookies are not the same as 500 calories of broccoli, an idea that even Weight Watchers and the American Diabetic Association are finally recognizing. They are changing their point system and their carb exchanges as a result. If you eat the same amount of calories from broccoli rather than cookies, you will lose weight. Food is information, and it controls your gene expression, hormones, and metabolism. The source of those calories and the information carried along with the calories makes a gigantic difference in how your genes, hormones, enzymes, and metabolism respond. If you eat food that spikes your insulin level, you'll gain weight. If you eat food that reduces your insulin level, you will lose weight. This is true even if it contains exactly the same number of calories or grams of protein, fat, carbohydrate, and fiber. Portion size matters. When traveling in Europe, I always notice that everything's smaller, including waist sizes. The sandwiches in airports use a small baguette and one thin slice of natural ham, not a giant loaf stuffed with meats and cheeses and sauces like our sandwiches. The sodas are 6 ounces, not 20 ounces. A cup of coffee is 4 ounces, not a 20-ounce latte laden with sugar. A pasta serving is only 4 ounces, not a giant mound that spills over the edges of our plates. Portion size does matter. Important portion sizes. You can also find this in the companion PDF. Fruit is 1 medium piece, 1 cup of berries, 1/2 cup of mixed fresh fruit, or 1/4 cup of dried fruit. Starchy vegetables. 1 serving is 1 cup of winter squash or 1/2 sweet potato. Non-starchy vegetables. 1 serving equals 3 cups of salad greens, or 1 cup of raw or 1/2 cup of cooked vegetables. But these are essentially free foods. Binge away on broccoli and asparagus. Meat, chicken, or fish, 1 serving is 4 ounces. That's about the size of the palm of your hand. Whole grains, not whole grain flours, whole grains, 1 serving is 1/3 cup cooked. Beans, 1 serving is 1/3 cup cooked or canned. Nuts or seeds, 1 serving is 1/4 cup or 1 small handful. Go to bloodsugarsolution.com for a complete list of serving sizes for different foods. Mastering the glycemic load is more important than mastering calories. Low glycemic load diets are the only diets that have been proven to work. These diets don't spike blood sugar and insulin. In a large landmark study, only one diet showed the capacity for maintaining the most weight loss over time. The study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, found that the easiest diet to maintain and the one that had the biggest impact on preventing weight gain after people had lost weight was the low glycemic load, higher protein diet. After looking at all diet studies, the Cochrane Database, an independent group of scientists who review all available literature, found that low glycemic load diets help you lose weight faster and keep it off. One of the most important skills you will learn in this audiobook is how to create a meal that has a low glycemic load. The glycemic load of a meal tells us how much of and how quickly a fixed quantity of a specific food will raise your blood sugar and insulin levels. The slower these levels rise and the lower they are, the better. Think of it this way. If you added 2 tablespoons of flax seeds and 2 tablespoons of fish oil to your cola, it would raise your blood sugar much more slowly than straight cola. But please, I'm not suggesting this is a way to continue drinking your sodas. It may take a bit of practice to get the glycemic load of your meals as low as possible. For some, testing your blood sugar 1 hour after a meal can even be helpful. But at the end of the day, controlling the glycemic load of your meals is not very hard. You need to combine protein, fats, and whole food, fiber-rich, low-starch carbohydrates from vegetables, legumes, nuts, seeds, and a limited amount of whole grains and low-sugar fruit. Another way to think about it is to never eat carbs alone. Combine carbs with protein and fat at every meal or snack. Have an apple, but eat it with some nuts. Have a little whole grain, but only with a meal containing some fish or chicken, fat, and vegetables with fiber. If you follow my 10 rules for eating safely for life and my 10 tips for cutting cravings, you will automatically be eating a low glycemic load diet. You will also be eating this way if you follow the meal plan in part 6. Eventually, this way of eating will become second nature. The key is to have an even, slow burn of food all day to keep your blood sugar and insulin levels stable. Take action. Feed your body right. If the quality, rather than the quantity of calories you eat, determines the state of your health and your ability to keep weight off, then the question is, which foods will send the right information to your body? There are 4 simple principles you can use to choose quality foods that will heal your body and the planet at the same time. At the end of this audiobook, I'll provide some resources that will help you find these foods. You will also find additional resources online at bloodsugarsolution.com. The 4 principles for a healthy planet and a healthy you. 1. Eat real food. Avoid highly processed, factory-made frankenfoods. Choose vegetables, fruit, whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, and lean animal protein such as fish, chicken, and eggs. 2. Clean up your diet. Look for animal products that are pasture-raised, grass-fed, antibiotic, hormone, and pesticide-free. Go on a low-mercury diet by sticking with small, wild, or sustainably raised farm fish. 3. Go organic. Pesticides and chemical fertilizers poison your metabolism, your thyroid, your sex hormones, and our planet. Buy as much organic food as your budget allows. Refer to the Dirty Dozen list for the top offenders and the Clean 15 at ewg.org. 4. Stay local. Seasonal local foods you find at farmers markets or community-supported agriculture projects or CSAs are healthier, taste better, and are typically sustainably grown and help you recognize the intimate relationship between the ecosystem of your body and the broader ecosystem in which we all live. See the face that feeds you. If you are part of a support group, you might want to buy things in bulk, such as half a grass-fed lamb, or get shares in a local farm. In this way, you can eat higher quality food for less money. If you can't make it to farmers markets or don't have a CSA in your area, you should be able to find everything you need in your local supermarket. It's possible to heal our planet and our health in one step. What you put at the end of your fork has a broad impact on agriculture, energy consumption, the environment, politics, the economy, and your biology. Carbohydrates. Eat your medicine. You may not realize this, but there are no essential carbohydrates. There are essential fats like omega-3s and essential proteins like amino acids. But if you never had any carbohydrates again, you would survive. But there are a few things that hang out almost exclusively with good quality carbohydrates that come from plant foods, vegetables, beans, whole grains, fruit, nuts, and seeds. So unless you're going to eat the brains, livers, and kidneys and other organs and chew the bones of animals, like the mostly meat-eating tribes once did, carbohydrates are critical for health. Why? Because they include high levels of vitamins and minerals, of fiber, and special plant compounds with healing properties called phytonutrients or phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are medicinal molecules, such as curcumin and turmeric, glucosinolates in broccoli, anthocyanidins in berries and black rice, and so on. See bloodsugarsolution.com for a complete list of the medicinal properties of different phytochemicals in a plant-rich diet. Focus on low glycemic load plant foods. These are the slow carbs, not low carb. When eating slow carbs in a meal or snack, always combine protein, fat, and fiber to lower the glycemic load even more. Take action. Eat slow carbs, not low carbs. See the list in the companion PDF for the carbs you can eat in unlimited amounts, which you can have in moderate amounts, and which you should completely avoid. I call these green, yellow, and red, like a traffic light, and forbidden. This doesn't refer to the color of the carbs, but how they affect your blood sugar and insulin. Go to bloodsugarsolution.com for a complete list. Take action. Boost phytonutrients. The one thing basically everybody in nutrition agrees on is that eating 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day reduces your risk of chronic illness. One of the reasons these foods are so powerful is because of the phytonutrients they contain. Different phytonutrients have different properties. Some are natural anti-inflammatories, others are antioxidants, and still others support detoxification. Each is important in its own way, and when eaten together in the right proportion, they can have a dramatic impact on health. Think of the supermarket as your pharmacy and food as your medicine. Here are some tips for optimizing your phytonutrient intake and eating more medicine. Hunt for natural anti-inflammatories. Mother Nature has many sources of medicine. Red and purple berries rich in polyphenols. Dark green leafy vegetables. Orange sweet potatoes. Nuts are all foods that reduce inflammation. Or you can take nature's Advil. Their curcumin and turmeric is a COX-2 inhibitor, the same class of anti-inflammatories as ibuprofen. Eat your antioxidants. These special mitochondria-boosting foods increase energy and reduce oxidation or rusting. Try anthocyanidins such as dark berries or black rice or pomegranate. Orange and yellow vegetables such as winter squash. Dark green leafy vegetables such as kale, collards, and spinach. And resveratrol-containing fruits such as purple grapes, blueberries, bilberries, cranberries, and cherries. Just think color. The deeper the color, the more the antioxidants. Detoxify with diet. Cruciferous vegetables are especially important for enhancing detoxification. These include broccoli, kale, collards, broccolini, broccoli rabe, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, bok choy, Chinese cabbage, and Chinese broccoli. Other natural detoxifiers are green tea, watercress, dandelion greens, cilantro, artichokes, garlic, citrus peels, pomegranate, and even cocoa. Have hormone-balancing meals. These include foods such as miso and tempeh and tofu, all of which are whole soy foods, and ground flax seeds. Use herbs. They are powerful antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, and detoxifiers. Try turmeric, rosemary, ginger, coriander, and others. Eat garlic and onions. Both lower cholesterol and blood pressure. They are antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, and enhance detoxification. Eat them every day if you can. Try green tea. This ancient beverage contains anti-inflammatory, detoxifying, and antioxidant phytonutrients. The small amount of caffeine it contains is usually well tolerated by most. Choose dark chocolate. Okay, you can have a little chocolate, but only the darkest, richest type. It should contain at least 70% cocoa. Eat no more than 2 ounces a day. Ideally, you should save this for after the first 6 weeks. Fat does not make you fat. While carbs are not essential, fats are. Without enough of the right type of fats, your biology breaks down at the very root. Fats make up your cell walls. If you don't get enough or you eat too much of the wrong kind, you will not have the building blocks you need for healthy cell membranes, which are needed for optimal insulin function and blood sugar control. Omega-3 fats are the king among healthy fats, and it can take a year to rebuild and remake all of your cells and tissues with the right fats. So start right away. Take action. Get an oil change. Replace the bad fat in your body with good fat. Consume wild or sustainably raised cold water fish. These include wild salmon, sardines, herring, small halibut, and sable or black cod. I suggest you keep a can of sardines, herring, or wild salmon on hand for quick snacks. Eat avocados and olives. These are sources of good fats. Use extra virgin olive oil. This oil contains anti-inflammatory and antioxidant phytochemicals. It should be your main oil, except in high-temperature cooking. Buy the best extra virgin olive oil your budget will allow. Walnut oil is very tasty as a salad dressing, and it's good for you. Sesame and sunflower oil are also healthy oils, and they can be used in high-temperature cooking. Try to find expeller or cold-pressed, unprocessed versions of these two oils. Coconut oil or butter contains lauric acid, a powerful anti-inflammatory fat, and can be used instead of butter or for cooking at high temperatures. Go grass-fed or range-fed. Animals raised in the pasture, eating the diet they evolved to eat, have healthier fat profiles than feedlot-raised animals. The importance of protein. Many studies, such as T. Colin Campbell's China study, point to the risks of too much animal protein, although these studies are mostly based on factory-produced animal protein, not the wild species that comprise the diet of our hunter-gatherer ancestors. The wild elk and deer my patients gave me when I was a small-town doctor in Idaho had very different nutritional properties and fats from those of a feedlot cow. Some people thrive as vegans, others wither. Some feel great when eating animal protein, others get sick and sluggish. You need to find out what works for your body, and this will take some experimentation. My experience with patients with diabetes is that they typically need more good quality animal protein, grass or range-fed animals, eggs, or sustainably farmed or caught low-mercury fish. Whether you choose vegetarian or animal sources, it's essential that you get protein at each meal and snack. Eating protein turns up your metabolic fire and ability to burn calories while reducing your appetite. Take action. Eat high-quality protein for blood sugar and insulin balance and hunger control. Choose from these high-quality, safe protein sources. Vegetarian protein sources. Beans or legumes. They are rich in protein and filled with fiber and minerals and vitamins that help balance blood sugar. Whole soy products. These include tempeh, tofu, miso, and natto. These vegetarian protein sources are also rich in antioxidants that can reduce cancer risk, lower cholesterol, improve insulin and blood sugar metabolism. Don't use processed industrial soy products, such as those found in deli meat replacements, soy cheese, or typical meal replacement bars. They're harmful. Nuts. Keeping nuts in the pantry is essential. They have been proven to help with weight loss and reduce the risk of diabetes. They're also a great snack full of protein and fiber and minerals and good fats. Buy raw or lightly toasted unsalted nuts. Avoid nuts that are fried or cooked in oils. The best are almonds, walnuts, macadamia nuts, hazelnuts, and pecans. Stick with one or two handfuls for a snack once or twice a day. They have a tendency to raise blood sugar if you binge on them like any food. Remember, a serving is 10 to 12 nuts or a good handful. Seeds. Pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds. These are all high in fiber, protein, vitamins, and minerals. And they're a great snack in addition to vegetable, bean, grain, or salad dishes. Healthy animal products.
Omega-3 eggs or free-range eggs.
These are one of the few animal products that are low in toxins and high in nutrients and balance blood sugar. They also contain lots of DHA and they don't raise your cholesterol, just the opposite. So enjoy up to 8 of these eggs a week. Whole eggs are okay, you don't need to stick to just egg whites. Yolks contain important vitamins and fats needed for brain and mood function. Mercury-free fish, shrimps, and scallops. These are good sources of high-quality protein as well as omega-3 fats. Organic, grass-fed, and hormone and antibiotic and pesticide-free poultry. Poultry raised without hormones and antibiotics is recommended. Remove the skin from the poultry before cooking. Keep some boneless, skinless breasts in the freezer for a quick dinner. Small amounts of lean, organic, grass-fed, and hormone antibiotic-free lamb or beef. Buy as much grass-fed, organic, hormone-free meat as your budget allows. Buy a whole animal with a group of friends and freeze it and share it. Trim all the visible fat from the meat before cooking. Remember, red meat is a treat. Lamb is a better choice. Pork is the worst. You can also try buffalo, venison, and ostrich, which are leaner. Eat no more than 4 to 6 ounces of red meat, the size of your palm, no more than once or twice a week. Excess meat consumption is associated with diabetes, although wild meat, such as deer, elk, or kangaroo, may reverse it. When choosing meat products, understand your choices and their impact on your health and the planet. If you eat meat and drive a Prius, you use more energy and harm the planet more than if you were a vegan and drive a Hummer. See the Meat Eater's Guide from the Environmental Working Group at bloodsugarsolution.com/meateatersguide. Herbs and spices. Many herbs and spices and seasonings contain healing properties. Make sure to include plenty of your favorites in your cooking. Keep your pantry stocked with them. Take action. Include healthy condiments and seasonings. Here are some that I enjoy. Wheat-free tamari or soy sauce, red chili paste, hot sauces to spice things up, tahini, a paste made from ground sesame seeds, kosher salt, use it for all your salt needs, fresh ground black pepper, get a grinder, spices, keep a small array of spices to add flavor to your foods, turmeric, coriander, cumin, rosemary, and whole chili peppers are great to start, but there are dozens of wonderful flavors and exotic spices to explore and include in your cooking. Fresh herbs, such as rosemary, basil, thyme, and oregano. Broth or stock. Make your own or use gluten-free, low-sodium versions. Canned or box foods. Some whole foods, such as tomatoes, artichokes, beans, sardines, come in cans or boxes. Choose organic or lower-sodium versions when possible. And have fresh lemon and lime juice available. Journaling exercises, making dietary changes. How do you feel about the dietary changes I recommended above? Do you feel resistant to them, or are you excited about them? Does this sound like deprivation or renovation? Take a few moments to think about what you've just learned, and then answer the following questions in your journal. If you have any resistance to the changes above, what are they? Are you afraid you will miss your favorite foods? If so, you could be addicted to these foods. Are you one of the many who hate vegetables? If so, do you believe there are ways you can enjoy them by learning to cook them well and resetting your palate? How should I eat and when should I eat? There are two more important nutritional topics I want to address: how to eat and when to eat. It's not only the quality of your calories that's important. Focusing on when you eat and the composition of your meals can reprogram your metabolism. Create the perfect plate. Composing the perfect meal or snack is an essential life skill. And the government's new version of the food pyramid called My Plate will not guide you correctly, though I admit it's an improvement over the food pyramid. It's most important to avoid eating quickly absorbed carbohydrates alone, as they will raise your blood sugar and insulin levels. And any large meal raises your blood sugar, so smaller meals help keep your blood sugar even. When you put food on your plate, it should look like this. On half your plate, put low starchy vegetables. You can refill this part as much as you want. Eat a pound or two of asparagus or broccoli if you like. On one quarter of your plate, put some protein: fish, chicken, egg, shrimp, meats, nuts, or beans. On the other quarter, add either 1/2 cup of whole grains, ideally brown or black rice or quinoa, or 1/2 cup of starchy vegetables, such as a sweet potato or winter squash. If you have advanced diabetes, you should avoid all grains, all starchy vegetables, and fruit until your metabolism resets and you become more insulin sensitive. That may take 6 weeks to 12 months. Just make vegetables 3/4 of your plate and protein 1/4. Eat on time. We often focus on what to eat, not when we eat it. The best way to gain weight and promote diabetes is to skip breakfast and eat a big meal before bed. I call this the sumo wrestler diet. Other studies show that people who eat small meals, frequently throughout the day, 3 meals and 2 to 3 snacks, lose weight compared to people who eat one big meal, even if they eat exactly the same number of calories. So eat early and eat often. Keep the fire of your metabolism burning all day, rather than slowing it down during periods of mini starvation. Always have breakfast. Eat every 3 to 4 hours, and try to schedule meals at the same time every day. Your metabolism will work faster and more efficiently, and you will lose weight and have more energy and feel better. Food allergies and sensitivities, treating and reversing diabetes. Earlier, we reviewed how food allergies and sensitivities trigger inflammation and diabetes. Some foods, for some people, have the wrong information. That's why I recommend you avoid 2 key groups of foods during the program, gluten and dairy, the 2 primary food allergens that contribute to insulin imbalances. After the first 6 weeks, you can reintroduce them into your diet, but I strongly advise that you do this part of the program 100%, no exceptions, not even a drop of gluten or wheat or dairy. You will likely see dramatic results, not just on your weight and diabetes, but also on your overall health and well-being. Stopping gluten and dairy can be life-changing for people with diabetes. This is also true for people with type 1 diabetes, because there is a strong correlation between casein and dairy and gluten and wheat and the development of this disease. New studies are now pointing to a connection between a leaky gut and type 2 diabetes, triggered by changes in gut bacteria and irritating proteins found in dairy and gluten-containing grains. Healing a leaky gut by removing allergens and by balancing gut bacteria may help with weight loss, reversing diabetes, and overall healing for many. Dairy represents a special case because the natural growth hormones in milk stimulate insulin production. There are more than 60 anabolic or growth hormones found naturally in milk. It's designed to make young animals grow. Drinking a glass of milk can spike insulin levels 300% and contribute to obesity and prediabetes. This is true despite studies funded by the Dairy Council showing that milk helps with weight loss. The question is, milk compared to what? A diet of bagels and Coke, or a healthy, phytonutrient, antioxidant-rich, plant-based diet with lean animal protein? Eliminating gluten and dairy may seem difficult at first, but after about 3 days off them, you probably won't crave them anymore. Don't shortchange yourself. You can add these back after the 6 weeks are over and monitor how you feel. Your body will be the best indicator of whether or not you can eat these foods for the long term. Take action. Eat well for less. Many people struggle with the cost of good food. Poverty drives obesity and diabetes because subsidized sugar and fat calories are cheap. But I would invite you to keep a careful record of how you spend your food dollars and see if with some reorganizing of your budget and priorities, you can find more money to spend on real whole food. For 1 week, in your journal, track every cent you spend and how you spend every hour of the day. If you understand exactly how you spend your time and your money, you can choose what's really important rather than make unconscious choices that don't serve your health or your life goals. What you learn may surprise you. How much money do you spend on coffee or gum or sodas, or convenience food, or even cigarettes? How much do you spend eating at restaurants, or on fast food, or takeout? Think about how you spend your days. Do you waste time reading tabloids, watching TV, surfing the internet, playing video games, and doing too many errands because you didn't plan your time well? Track this in your journal as well. Then ask yourself if your time and your money are best spent as you're spending them now. Think of money as your life energy. It represents your time in a monetary way. How do you want to spend this life energy? Do you want to spend more of it creating health and vitality? Take some time to write out a response to these questions in your journal. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just something to think about. You might discover that you have more time and money than you think to invest in yourself and in the quality of life and health that you deserve. Once you've thought about your answers to these questions, choose three things to change that can give you more time and more money. Write them down in your journal as well. For example, giving up that $2 coffee every day saves you over $700 a year. Or giving up watching just a half hour of television a day gives you an extra 7.6 days a year to plan or cook healthy meals. We are all overworked, overstressed, and overtaxed. Even so, there are ways of making choices that give us more resources.
Now that I've got you thinking, here are a few secrets for eating well on the cheap and on the fly.
Search out cheaper sources of fresh whole foods in your neighborhood. My top choices are stores like Trader Joe's and shopping clubs like Costco or Sam's Club, where you can buy vegetables, olive oil, fruits, nuts, canned beans, sardines, and salmon at much lower prices than regular supermarkets or other retail chains. Think about joining your local food co-op. Co-ops are community-based organizations that support local farmers and businesses and allow you to order foods and products in bulk at just slightly over the wholesale price. This takes a bit of advanced planning, but will save you money. Join a community-supported agriculture program. Buy direct and cut out the middleman. We get organic, mostly seasonal, local vegetables delivered to our house for our family of four for $55 a week, or a little more than $10 a person per week. We don't always get to choose what we get, but it makes us more creative cooks. Develop a repertoire of cheap, easy-to-prepare meals. Have the ingredients available at home at all times so you don't get stuck eating food that doesn't make you feel well or help you create the health you want. This takes planning, but it's well worth it. Create a potluck club at work. Have coworkers share the responsibility of making lunch for the group once a week or every 2 weeks. No more buying lunch out. And you get to eat real, whole, fresh food, and you only have to cook a few times a month. Or create a supper club with a group of friends. Rather than go out to dinner once a week or once a month, rotate dinner parties at one another's homes. You'll build community and health at the same time. Take action. Have a plan for surviving restaurants. If you eat out, be careful. While I recommend you avoid eating out while on the program, I understand that this is sometimes impossible. For some of you, you might be obligated to go to business luncheons or social events, for example. In that case, I recommend you follow these guidelines. 1. Be obnoxious. You have to be very clear about your needs. If you have a peanut allergy and would die if a drop of peanut butter or peanut oil crossed your lips, you would be sure to let your server know. It may be a slow death, but accepting foods that don't nourish and support you is not being polite, it's being stupid. 2. Choose the restaurant when you can. There are many good choices for eating well. Learn the restaurant choices in your area or when you travel. It's worth doing a little homework. Ethnic is always a good choice. Indian, Japanese, Thai, Mediterranean, Italian, Greek, and Spanish, and Middle Eastern are good options. Stay away from fast food chains. Enjoy slow food restaurants that celebrate local, fresh, seasonal ingredients. I'm an advisor for a new company, Life, Love Your Food Every Day, a low-cost, healthy, fast food restaurant using local, seasonal, organic, grass-fed ingredients to make nourishing and delicious meals. They're just starting up, but could reach over the whole country soon. 3. Tell the server you want no bread on the table and no alcoholic drinks. Ask for cut-up raw veggies, such as crudité, and skip the dips. 4. Ask for water. Drink a glass or two before dinner. It will reduce your appetite. 5. Tell the server you will die if you have any gluten or dairy. Not a lie, just a slow death. 6. Ask for simple food preparation. Ask for grilled fish or chicken and a large plate of vegetables steamed or sautéed in olive oil with a side of sliced lemons. You may have a salad, but ask for extra virgin olive oil in vinegar or sliced lemons instead of dressing. 7. Skip the starches. Ask for double vegetables and leave out the potatoes, rice, or noodles. 8. Stay away from sauces, dressing, and dips. They are often full of sugar, dairy, and gluten. 9. Follow Hari Hachi Bu. The Okinawans are among the longest-lived people on the planet. They have a simple saying, Hari Hachibu, or 80% full. They stop eating when they're gently satisfied. There will always be another meal. Bring leftovers home. Eating too much of the right foods can also spike your insulin. 10. Ask for berries for dessert. They are gently sweet and nutrient dense, and after a meal, their sugar won't raise your blood sugar or insulin. Take action. Create an emergency food pack. If you were insulin dependent, you wouldn't leave your home without your insulin and needle. If you were asthmatic, you wouldn't leave home without your inhaler. If you have a body, you need a life pack, a small handheld cooler that has your daily needs packed away, something quick to assemble but never to forget. It goes in your car, to work, and on trips. Over time, you will find your favorite version of the life pack, but here's an example of what you could include. A small bag of raw almonds, walnuts, or pecans. A small bag of cut carrots or cucumbers. A small container of hummus. Try Wild Garden single-serve packets. A can of wild salmon. A can of sardines. A container of chickpeas with olive oil, lemon, salt, and pepper. A healthy whole food protein bar. And a bottle of water. Take action. Be prepared for holidays and special events. Sometimes you have to eat someplace where you have no control. A party, an event, a friend's house. You can plan ahead by making special requests, which are happily granted by most. If not, you can do a few things to reduce your stress and preserve your health. Eat before you go to the event. I will often eat before I go to an event. I'm happier, have more fun, and can enjoy talking and interacting if I don't have to focus on eating. Bring an emergency life pack. If you are not sure what the food choices will be, be prepared. Having your emergency life pack is a great backup. You can always have something before you go in and after you leave if you're still hungry. Just relax and eat. Eat things that nourish you, such as meat, fish, or chicken. Ask for extra vegetables or a second salad, or just do your best and relax and have fun and get back to your routine in the morning. Take action. Before you eat, breathe and offer gratitude for the meal. Mindful eating is the act of becoming aware of what we eat and how that food looks, feels, and tastes in our mouth and how it makes us feel afterward. It's the difference between gobbling up junk food or attentively savoring dark chocolate. When we eat unconsciously, we eat more. Studies allowing people to watch TV and eat from bags of chips or popcorn found that the bag always ended up empty, no matter what the size. You taste the first bite of food, but then you drift into mindless eating and don't feel as if you ate anything. It takes 20 minutes for your brain to register that your stomach is full. The practice of slow, mindful eating is a powerful way to better enjoy your food, lose weight, and improve your metabolism. Here are some steps that will help you eat mindfully. Take 5 before a meal. This simple 1-minute technique will lower your stress hormones, which make you store fat when you eat, and will get your digestive system ready to metabolize your food. Just take 5 breaths in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth, slowly to the count of 5 on each in-breath and again on each out-breath. That's it. Take 5. Offer gratitude before the meal. You can make something up. Be thankful for your family, your friends, the earth for providing food, whatever moves you. This is an ancient practice, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Native American, or even pagan. But it can completely be your own. Just offering thanks is a powerful healing activity that will change your relationship to food. Use this as a chance to reprogram any negative associations you have with food or eating, like it will make me fat, sick, or tired. Bring your attention fully to the food. Stop reading your magazine or book. Turn off the television. Put down your smartphone. When you sit down to a meal, whether with family and friends or by yourself, place your attention on the food. How does it look on the plate? How does it smell? As you bring that first bite to your mouth, relish the experience. How does it taste? What does it feel like? You will be amazed at how this simple act amplifies your dining experience. Journaling exercise, keeping a daily food and feeling journal. Every day you're on the program, I recommend you keep track of the foods you eat and how they make you feel. This, in addition to tracking your numbers, will give you the key information you need about how to make healthy food choices in the future. It will help you tune into the innate wisdom of your body. Does this food make me feel good or bad in my mind or my body? After every meal or snack, do the following. Write down what you ate in as much detail as possible. Include not only the veggies and whole grains, beans, nuts, and protein you ate, but the herbs, spices, and oils you used as well. Think about how this meal or snack made you feel. Take notes in your journal. How does your body feel? Have symptoms you've suffered from either decreased or increased? Did the food alter your memory or mood or digestion or congestion? Every evening, think about how your experience with food impacted your day. Do you see improvements in your energy, your ability to focus? Does your body feel different? What changes have you experienced? How do these changes make you feel? Go to bloodsugarsolution.com for a downloadable, printable cheat sheet on Eat Your Medicine, Nutrition Basics for Everyone, and online tools for tracking your daily food and feeling journal. Chapter 20, Week 2, Optimize Metabolism with Nutritional Supplements. Nutritional supplements are an essential and effective part of diabetes treatment. Mild diabetes requires moderate nutritional support. More advanced cases, including diabetes, often require more intensive nutrient therapy. I'm going to explain why supplements are so important. I will also review common medications used for diabetes and its complications, such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, thick blood, as well as natural alternatives to these medications. What you really need, the truth about supplements. Doctors used to think that you got all your vitamins and minerals from food, and that any extra was excreted or, worse, toxic. But the tide is shifting. Doctors now prescribe over $1 billion in fish oil supplements. Most cardiologists recommend folate, fish oil, and coenzyme Q10. Gastroenterologists recommend probiotics. Obstetricians have always recommended prenatal vitamins. Emerging scientific evidence has proven the importance of nutrients as essential helpers in our biochemistry and metabolism. They are the oil that greases the wheels of our metabolism, and large-scale deficiencies of nutrients in our population, including omega-3 fats, vitamin D, folate, zinc, magnesium, and iron, have been well documented in extensive government-sponsored research. It may seem like a paradox, but obesity and malnutrition often go hand in hand. Processed high-sugar, high-calorie foods contain almost no nutrients, yet require even more vitamins and minerals to metabolize them. It's a double whammy. There are four main reasons we are nutrient-depleted. First, we evolved eating wild foods that contain dramatically higher levels of all vitamins, minerals, and essential fats. Second, because of depleted soils and industrial farming and hybridization techniques, the animals and vegetables we eat have fewer nutrients. Third, processed factory-made foods have no nutrients. And fourth, the total burden of environmental toxins, lack of sunlight, and chronic stress leads to higher nutrient needs. That is why everyone needs a good multivitamin, fish oil, and vitamin D. I also recommend probiotics because modern life, diet, and antibiotics and other drugs damage our gut ecosystem, which is so important in keeping us healthy and thin. Additional nutrients are needed for people with diabetes to reset and correct metabolic imbalances, and to improve insulin function, balance blood sugar, and reduce inflammation. I'm sure you're confused by conflicting studies. One day, folic acid is good. The next day, it's found to cause cancer. One day, vitamin D is a lifesaver. The next, it's found not to be helpful. This media whiplash is enough to make you give up altogether. The problem with these studies is that they treat nutrients as drugs. Researchers give one nutrient alone and see what happens. But nutrients work as a team. Broccoli is great for you and can help prevent and cure many diseases,
But if all you ate was broccoli, you would get sick and die. Nutrients work together to maintain the proper balance in your body. In this chapter, I'll focus on the basic supplements everyone needs to help prevent and reverse diabetes and insulin resistance. Then I will address the additional supplements you need if your self-assessment qualified you for the advanced plan. Take action. Be a smart supplement shopper. Drugs are regulated. You know what you're getting when your pharmacist fills your prescription. The government makes sure of it. Supplements are not controlled in the same way. Manufacturers often cut corners. It's a minefield for the average consumer. Here are the potential problems I avoid when choosing supplements for my patients. The form of the nutrient may be cheap and poorly absorbed or used by the body. The dosage on the label may not match the dose in the pill. It may be filled with additives, colors, fillers, or allergens. The raw materials, especially herbs, may not be tested for toxins such as mercury and lead, and may not be consistent from batch to batch. The factory in which it's produced doesn't follow good manufacturing standards, so products may vary greatly in quality. I use supplements in my practice as a cornerstone of healing and repair, so I've investigated supplement makers, toured factories, and studied independent analyses of their finished products. And I've learned that there are few companies I can rely on. At BloodSugarSolution.com, I've listed the exact products I've used effectively with thousands of patients. There are other good products on the market, but to make it easy for you, I provided a complete list, which I may update from time to time as the science advances, of what I recommend, both for the basic and the advanced plans. Whether you follow my product recommendations or not, be sure to pick quality supplements and ones that contain nutrients and compounds research has shown to be helpful in the treatment of diabetes and insulin resistance. Think of them as part of your diet. You want the best quality food and the best quality supplements you can buy. Guidance from a trained dietitian, nutritionist, or nutritionally oriented physician or healthcare practitioner can help you select the best products. Special note, many supplements have multiple uses and benefits and may be listed multiple times throughout the program. For example, alpha-lipoic acid works to help balance blood sugar, but it's also important for mitochondrial function and for detoxification. If you find that it's recommended here and again in week 6, when we discuss personalization, don't take double the dose. You will get all the benefits across different systems of the body with the basic recommended dose. The basic plan supplements. Obesity and diabetes are often paradoxically states of malnutrition. It's been said that diabetes is starvation in the midst of plenty. The sugar can't get in the cells. Your metabolism is sluggish, and cells don't communicate as a finely tuned team. Nutrients are an essential part of getting back in balance and correcting the core problem, insulin resistance. There are two ways in which supplements work. They make your cells more sensitive to insulin and more effective at metabolizing sugar and fats. And special fibers can slow the absorption of sugars and fats into the bloodstream. This leads to a faster metabolism, more balanced blood sugar, improved cholesterol, less inflammation, fewer cravings, more weight loss, and more energy. Everyone listening to this book should get on the basic plan of supplements and stay on them for life. Even if you are cured of diabetes, you will need to keep taking them because you need special vitamins and minerals and herbs to compensate for your genetic tendency towards insulin resistance. In a moment, I will review the basic supplements that everybody should be taking in their daily regimen.